Good morning and welcome to the Ken Hodge Postal Podcast. Let's start the show.
They claim we're brought us from the bottom of hell, 'cause the black is back and it's bound to sell. Picture us cooling out on the 4th of July, and if you heard we were celebrating, that's a worldwide lie. Yo, Chuck, the fat data rolls, man, trying to pull a 226 on you, G. Yo, man, show them what you got. Show them what you got.
This style seems wild. Wait before you treat me like a stepchild. Let me tell you why they got me on file, 'cause I give you what you lack. Come right in next back. I'm status to the status, so I care where you at. Black in that home, I got a call from Tony Rome. The FBI was tapping my telephone. I never live alone. I never walk alone. My posse's always ready and they're waiting in my zone. Although I live the life that I'm a resident.
Good morning. This is your podcast, Ken Hodge, with a Postal Podcast this morning. Again, just attempting to wake postal employees up to the fact that the implementation of the new Postmaster General's
new standard operating procedure is taking effect, and immediately you see postal management attempting to eliminate or reduce overtime. Now, let me say this to you, and believe me, I'm no Rockefeller, okay? So we have to understand that we've become comfortable with overtime, but overtime is just not a real good business expense paid at the rate that they pay it. And again, trust me, thanks to that rate they pay of the overtime, again, it allows me to talk to you on some pretty nice equipment. So, I mean, I get it, but I want to say to postal employees, keep your focus. And I know a lot of people have probably have expenses that are based on overtime. You know, try to manage that and keep your focus, and don't let the fact that instead of working 40 hours of overtime a week, you may be getting 20. Don't let that destroy you, folks, because it's about to happen. And it's going to happen until, and I don't even want to say until, but it's going to happen when I say reduction of overtime. The only thing that's going to stop that from happening is mail began to accumulate in facilities to the point that they have to pay to get it out. And when I say mail accumulate, let me be clear. At no point am I inferring that we stopped the mail intentionally, because let me tell you something. I would call you crazy. When I say mail back up, if we continue to stop processing state mail at X and X hour in the morning by design, one or two things are going to happen. One, it was a fabulous design. Or two, mail is going to start to accumulate to the point where we now have an issue where we're going to house it. Does that make sense? Now, again, this new Postmaster General, not being from a postal direct background, but having a lot of business ventures or dealings with the post office, he's coming at this job from a totally different perspective as opposed to former Postmaster Generals who spent some time as vice presidents. Or, you know, you understand what I'm saying? So what we're about to experience under this new Postmaster General in almost every facet is going to be different from what we've experienced in the past. Does that make sense? And when I say going to be different, don't confuse different with bad. Now, it's going to take some getting used to as employees, but one thing I will say, his instructions are being followed. Now, again, far too many times in the past have I seen instructions from headquarters come down that local management don't implement as per headquarters instructions. But that does not seem to be the case now. So all I can say is if we get a postmaster general who cares about employees, then that will also be trickled down to us. So when I look at the reduction in overtime right now, again, the postmaster general said it's going to happen, and it is happening. So we can't do anything. Understand what I'm saying. I don't care who you talk to. We can't do anything about that. That's a right management owns, and they flexed it. Now, what we can do.
Oh,
there's always an upside.
What we can do.
Ensure that reduction is proper. In other words, understand, or now is a good time to blow the dust off your contract and read Article 8. Again, Article 8 deals with overtime. Article 8 talks to you about overtime desire list, how it's established, what it's established for, and the purpose of the overtime desire list. Again, if you're interested, it makes some very good reading. And in addition to making good reading, it will also open your eyes to ensure that whatever it is you're entitled to with respect to overtime, and again, I address this because there's going to be a reduction, what you're entitled to, if you understand that you have a right to it, then you understand when you don't get it, and you also will understand how to address it. And not to be the bearer of bad news, but I want to say to the PSEs and the MHAs, you know, you should expect a reduction in your work hours just for the simple fact that there's a reduction in all overtime or all work hours. And again, I'm not trying to talk into existence something that you may think is not going to happen, but I'm going to tell you, that's going to be the next move. As soon as Columbus in particular understands that when you start to reduce overtime hours, most supervisors don't pay attention to the MHAs, but that report will come and they're going to have to address it if your union don't force them to address it sooner. So again, I'm just telling you what you should be preparing yourself for so that when it happens, you're still focused. And it may not happen drastically, but I'm just telling you that's a natural progression if you're looking to reduce overtime hours. But you know, it's funny, it's funny that they're going to reduce work hours, but the supervisors performing craft work will continue. In fact, they'll probably pick up the slack, and that's not fair to that supervisor, and it's definitely not fair to that employee. So you have to be attentive to this and support or coordinate with your unions to ensure that this won't happen, don't happen, or at the very least, you minimize it from happening. Now let's address Columbus, Ohio, because for whatever reason, under the direction of the new senior lead MDO, rather than being precise, they focus or practice on being clever. And I don't mean clever in any good way, shape, form, or fashion. What Columbus is doing is they are curtailing regular career mail handlers on the overtime desire list. They are attempting to curtail their overtime while simultaneously still allowing non-overtime desire list and non-career employees to work the exact same amount of overtime. Here's a quick example of exactly what I'm talking about. On Sunday, I work in a package unit, and one of the overtime desired list personnel that was available on Sunday was not allowed to work, yes, regular mail handler on the overtime desired list. But instead, what Columbus did, and see, this is that craziness that I don't care how much I try to look at it, I just can't wrap my brain around how they operate, they being Columbus management. Rather than bring the mail handler in on the overtime desired list, what they did was they brought two regular mail handlers in from another section to work in the section that the mail handler on the overtime desired list who was left home, he should have been working that. But what the post office did was brought two other mail handlers from another section into his section to work. They also brought MHAs in early. And I got to take a second to just explain that. Here's how your union looks at that, man. It's pathetic, but I'm going to give it to you. Because when your MHAs go into overtime, you are not physically in the building. Your union does not view that as an overtime violation. Because the overtime, Article 8 says, those who are available. Now, I got to tell you, that's a very elementary way of looking at that. And this is how Ken Hodge looks at it. When you make a schedule, you schedule your MHAs for 10 hours. So at that point when you make that schedule, your overtime desired list is at work. They are available, but they're just not being scheduled. So to the union, and maybe you might want to get up some mornings and come and watch how Tour 1 dispatched the mail so union officials will know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just not, and when I said, the reduction is going to come and we can't stop it. And I immediately follow that up with, we have to ensure they do it properly. Right now, what Columbus, Ohio is doing is they are coming up with their own, not they, the senior lead MDO is coming up with his own interpretation of Article 8. And it is not fair to the overtime desired list employees, but that's what they're doing. So in an attempt to reduce overtime, which is what the Postmaster General has directed, the Columbus, Ohio is paying the wrong people, and if our union gets tenacious and aggressive, then we can make Columbus, Ohio pay twice for that same bit of work, which now will allow our Postmaster General to see that the people he have running his organization now are not as business savvy or contractually savvy as one would think. Now, everybody knows in the Postal Service right now, as letters decline and flat mail decline, the increase in our product is in the package area. So if we understand that simple analogy, then we understand that if we are controlling overtime, we're going to control it in all non-package producing areas first, and then we'll come and look at the overtime in the package producing areas. Does that make sense? And that's very basic. But what Columbus is doing, as always, reinventing the wheel, and again, they are going to have to pay twice for the same production because they refuse to do it properly. So, hey, in my podcast to you today, I want to say to Columbus, Ohio, hey, listen, folks, we have to, again, let's take a different look at our disposable income or our family budgets and understand that ours are about to be cut, or not even cut, reduced. And if we prepare ourselves now for what's about to happen, when it actually happens, we can still maintain focus, and it won't really take us to a point that we can't recover from. But let me just say to you, to those union members who think, well, okay, I'll let them violate, I'll get paid. All I'm going to say to you is, Do you remember that file called RI-399 that lasted about 20, 25 years? I've been just saying, just want to put something on your head. Hey, but listen, this is Ken Hodge on the Ken Hodge podcast. And because I was one of those employees that had his overtime reduced, I always try to look for the silver lining in every cloud. It now allows me or gives me a little more of an opportunity to keep the Columbus, Ohio employees updated on what's going on in their building. It also allows me to speak to other postal employees around the world to let them know that somebody is watching what it is the post office is doing, and that somebody does not mind putting it on a podcast for the sole purpose of advising you and encouraging you to get contractually proficient so that you can have a better quality of work life. Have a great day.